They murmured. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's Gospel, Septuagesima Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A few years ago, Bishop Dolan was in Paris, and he was listening to the news. And the news in Paris at that point had been filled with reports about a dispute between the African colonies of France, their former African colonies, and the French government. The president of France, Monsieur Chirac, took great offense at one statement that one of the African leaders had made. And he said to this one leader at the meeting, in the very grand way that the French have, and to do this I have to sort of look down at you a little bit and puff out my cheeks to get the right sort of accent. He looked at him and he said, Monsieur, vous avez manqué l'occasion de vous taire. Which means, sir, you have lost a good opportunity to keep silent. Now, the French have a reputation among Americans for Gallic pride and for a bit of snootiness. But actually, there's quite a bit of truth in that particular phrase. A good opportunity to keep silent. Knowing when to keep silent, actually, is part of the wisdom of the saints, part of the secrets, part of the knowledge of the saints, the scientia sanctorum. The poet T.S. Eliot speaks about this in one of his religious works, in which he puts a prayer on the lips of one of his characters. The prayer is this: teach us when to be silent, and teach us when to speak. Keeping silence sometime is very much a part of the imitation of Christ. Today is Septuagesima Sunday, Septuagesima meaning 70 days before Easter. Septuagesima is a period of preparation before we begin Lent. When Lent comes along, we think of giving up many things. We think of giving up sweets or liquor or entertainment. But do we think of giving up certain forms of speech. In the hymn, in the breviary that the priest recites during Lauds, which is recited during the morning on every Lenten ferial day, he recites the following words, which are part of a hymn: Utamur ergo parcius verbis cibis et potibus. Which means, more sparing, therefore, let us make the words we speak, the food we take. More sparing, let us make the words we speak. So that's supposed to be part of our Lenten sacrifice as well. Now, today's Gospel highlights a kind of speech that is common to all of us, unfortunately, which we really could do without. And by that, I'm referring to murmuring. It's referred to in the Gospel today. And indeed, this particular term occurs several times in Holy Scripture. Now, the malice of murmuring and complaining is this, that it destroys respect for those in authority. We can see that in the Gospel today. It also hinders compliance with the divine plan, this complaining. So the one of the points, indeed, of today's Gospel is this spirit of rebellion, the spirit of murmuring was frustrating the plan, was calling into question the plan of the householder, the man who was the good man of the house, I think they call him in some translations, who was hiring these workers and then running the vineyard. Murmuring also fosters pride, and it fosters discord among those who practice it. So it has a number of malicious effects. In the face of this, though, what should our resolutions be? One perhaps could be this, that God often acts through the actions of others. And it is not always good to second guess him if we have an opportunity for humility. Secondly, in the face of reproach, we should exercise the virtue of humility. We can do this in many things, both large and small. It is a very good habit to get into. Parents try to teach this to their children. Sometime if the children are unjustly reproached, I don't know about your household, but in my household, if one of us was unjustly reproached for something another kid had done, generally the comment of mom or dad was, well, if you didn't deserve it this time, you deserved it last time or the next time. So we should think about that as well. In the old days in the Catholic school, this, of course, is how the disciplinary system operated, and it was a very good system. That if you were reproached for something wrong and you were not guilty of it, the correct response was not to argue, but to say, thank you, sister, or thank you, father. Why? Because this was supposed to build the virtue of humility. The same thing in religious or monastic life. The rule of Saint Benedict in particular warns his monks against murmuring and against complaining, and he exhorts them to accept the reproaches they are given, and he says, in much talking thou canst not avoid sin. So he too sees it as an act of sanctification and an act of mortification. Positively speaking, the spiritual writers talk about the bonum silentiae, the good that comes from silence. Saint Macarius, an Egyptian abbot, there are many stories about him, one of which is he corrected one of his disciples with an excommunication. That's how in early monastic life you were corrected and you were punished. And then the monk who had been excommunicated, turned back against Macarius and accused him of doing something wrong, and then attempted to excommunicate him. But Macarius's response was silence. He did not defend himself. And the guilty party was so moved by the silence that he confessed his sin and he repented. Silence is a virile virtue, in the sense that it is a manifestation of strength. It is a very appropriate one for men to practice. Their wives sometimes think the men practice this virtue a little bit too much, perhaps. The silence of a husband is often a trial for the wife, but sometimes it can be a source of edification for the both of them. Not only a virile virtue, but it's also virtue appropriate to women, a feminine virtue. Again, we can go back to the story of St. Macarius. Now, he was a great ascetic, denied himself, practiced really heroic mortifications, slept very little, he was rail thin. And God told him once in a vision that he was pleased with these acts of mortification, and that there were only two people in Egypt who are holier than you are. God said, I will show you them. So Macarius naturally was expecting to have a vision of the monastic competition, other monks or hermits down in lower Egypt. God instead granted him a vision of two housewives who were very careful in guarding their speech. Another important point here when we speak of silence and keeping silence as a means to humility, we shouldn't use silence as a mask for aggression or mask for hostility. Sometime in modern discourse, this is referred to as being passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive. You should not be passive-aggressive if you are trying to practice virtue. Giving someone, as it were, particularly a spouse, the silent treatment. Between spouses and among ourselves, a cheerful silence is far, far better. A silence that really shows no offense. We need this virtue. We need sometimes just to say nothing. Just to say nothing. So much good can come from it, and so much evil we can avoid. So in Lenten life, both we should think about the line from the Passion of our Blessed Lord that is chanted on Good Friday. In the face of reproach, Jesus autem tacebat. Jesus, however, kept silence. Et Septuagesima, Lent is coming. Consider now and think about your penances and your prayers. And reflect at least a little bit on this, that what good is it to fast or to deny yourself or to make the stations if you talk constantly, if you murmur constantly, if you complain and accuse others. Make a resolution today to be a little bit more quiet. And make this part of your Lenten resolution as well. Find plenty of opportunities, as Monsieur Chirac said, de vous taire, to keep silent. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.